Been going through the book of Galatians for a while now. Last week, we looked at Christian liberty. We have been called to liberty, but we have to be careful with that liberty. We have to use that liberty in the right way. We can't just do whatever we want to do because we are Christians. And all of that stems back to the fact that we have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us. That's the reason that we live the Christian life. Whenever a person is saved and born again, they have a new nature. They have the Holy Spirit that comes and indwells them on the inside of them. And so we now live the Christian life in power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who energizes us, prods us, moves us. And so Paul the Apostle is going to start speaking here about walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. And that's what we want to look at this morning. About walking in the Spirit. We're going to find that in Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 to 21. Let's ask God to bless this before we go any further. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can be here this morning. We do thank you, God, for your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. Thank you for allowing us to be here. Lord, you know the problems that everyone faces here. You know the hearts of each and every individual that's here. You know what they believe. You know the struggles they go through. God, I pray that you would deal with the hearts this morning. Teach us, lead us, guide us, direct us. Help us to know what you want us to know. Help me to say what you want me to say. Well, thank you for it, Lord. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We will read verses 16 down through verse 21. Paul says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of which I tell you before, as I also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." That's a sober warning there. I'd like to describe for you this morning about the Christian life. What is it? What is the Christian life? The Christian life is not a life of sinless perfection. It's not that. But at the same time, the Christian life is not a life that is lived according to the dictates of the flesh, a life of unbridled sin and passion. It's also not that as well. The Christian life is a war. The Christian life is a struggle between two warring factions that you have. You have the flesh and they have the Spirit. You have the old nature and you have the new nature. And those two things are contrary the one to the other. Those two things do not get along. The old man, the old you, the outside man, the person you look at every day in the mirror. And then you have the new man on the inside. And that's the Holy Spirit, the Spirit that indwells every believer. So if I could describe the Christian life in my experience, and probably every experience of everyone here, it's going to be described like this. It's a life of repentance. It's a life of faith. It's a life of assurance. It's a life of failures. It's a life of victories. It's a life of doubts. It's a life of fears. A life of setbacks and new beginnings and mercy and grace. All of those things encompass the Christian life. And if you are honest with yourselves here this morning, you will find that to be your experience in the Christian life. I don't want to stand up here and tell each and every one of you that I don't struggle with things, that I don't have a problem with sin, that I don't ever have thoughts that I shouldn't have or desires that I shouldn't have. I don't want to stand up here and tell you that because it's not true. And each and every one of us have that same struggle on the inside. You got struggle with sin. You got struggle with problems in your life. And I don't want anybody here to think that, boy, those people are just perfect. They never struggle with sin. They never have any problems. That's not true. It's not true. Read Romans chapter number 7, what Paul the Apostle said about his struggle with sin after he was saved. He said the same thing. He said, there's a lot of things that I want to do that I don't do because of the sin that I have in my body. He had problems. So the Christian life is a warfare and a struggle. You're not always going to be winning. Yeah, we want to win. We want to go forward. But then again, you're not always going to be losing either. There's going to be a struggle. And if there's not a struggle, then are you alive spiritually? Because if there's not a struggle, then you are not alive spiritually. And Paul the Apostle is explaining to us and showing us that the believer has a spirit of God on the inside of him, and there is a fight and there's a war going on the inside of a person. That's what he's been speaking about here. Are you following the Holy Spirit of God, or are you following your flesh here this morning? When Paul says walk in the Spirit, he's talking about the way that you conduct your life, your everyday life that you live. There is a battle going on. Your walk is not your conversion. Your walk is a result of your conversion. Every one of us have the Holy Spirit of God living on the inside of us, and you used to walk a certain way before you got saved because you used to have a different leader. You used to have a different spirit on the inside of you that compelled you to do something wrong. Read Ephesians chapter number 2, verses 1 to 3. But then what happened? You got new life on the inside of you. And now you have a new leader on the inside of you that leads you in a different direction. And Paul the Apostle says, if you be led of the Spirit. This same wording is found in Romans chapter number 8. It says that they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. If someone is saved, they're being led by the Spirit of God. And that changes your life. That changes your behavior. Walk in the Spirit, he says. When Jesus Christ was upon this earth and he talks to his disciples, he says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. He says, hey, come and follow me. I will make you something different than what you are. He didn't say, come and follow me and you can make yourself into something else. He didn't say that. He says, I will make you something. That's supernatural. Salvation is not just turning over another leaf. It is God coming into your body and into your life and changing you. That's what salvation is. It's a new spirit, a new nature on the inside. He gives us an internal change. And so how must we live our lives based upon the indwelling of that Holy Spirit? What must we do? How does it affect our lives? This morning I want to give us three ways that we walk in the Spirit. If He told us to do so, then we must do it. We have a responsibility to be obedient to God and to follow His leading. We walk in the Spirit by walking in the knowledge of His presence. Number one. Number two, we walk in the power of His Spirit. And number three, we walk in faith. Number one, we walk in the knowledge of His presence. We live our everyday lives with the knowledge that God lives on the inside of us, that He indwells us. You have to live with that knowledge that God is on the inside of every saved person. But if you're not saved, He does not live on the inside of you, and He's not guiding you, and He's not leading you. He's not there. We have to live with the knowledge of His presence. That means that our reaction in a crisis is going to change when we realize and we know that God lives on the inside of us. We react differently. But oh, how sometimes we forget, don't we? We forget that God is there. We forget that God lives on the inside of us, and so in a crisis, we react like an unsaved person does or something like that. Why? Because we have forgotten that God is there and that He is with us. Our reaction to temptation or to sin or do wrong, it should be different with the knowledge of the presence of God with us. Our reaction in a crisis at work should be different with the knowledge that God is with us and that He indwells us. Walking in the Spirit is living with the knowledge that God is with us, because a lack of the knowledge that God is with us continually is going to destroy your walk. It's going to destroy your testimony, and it's going to destroy your Christian life. If you walk around, or I walk around, without that knowledge that God is with us. The Bible tells us in Hosea chapter 4, it says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." What happened to them? They forgot. They didn't know that God was there. They didn't act like God was there. They didn't care that God was there. And so they went on their merry way, and they lived their lives like they were agnostics, like they were atheists, because there wasn't this knowledge that they needed. Living your life with a lack of knowledge has been going on since the beginning of Christianity. Paul the Apostle writes to a church at Corinth. And boy, they had some problems. Boy, they had some setbacks. Boy, they were doing some things that they should not have done, and they were acting like a bunch of little babies. And he writes to them in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, and he says to them three times, "Know ye not? Know ye not? Know ye not?" They were systematically destroying themselves because they were living like they didn't even know God. Like they didn't know He was there. Like they didn't know the Bible. They were going around suing each other and fighting and bickering with one another, taking each other to court over little matters. And Paul the Apostle says, "Don't you know that the saints shall judge the world, and you can't even work your own lives out in your own church? Don't you know that?" Again, he says, "Don't you know you're living in fornication? You're living an unclean life. The body's not for that. Know you not?" They were living their life like a lost, ignorant world was. And then he says they have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. They were living like a lost person that had no inheritance. committing sexual immorality, fornication, disobedience to God, doing whatever they wanted to do. And Paul the Apostle says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost and you are living in fornication? He says, the body is not for fornication. The body's not to do whatever you want to with it. It belongs to God and He indwells you and you're living like you don't even know that. Amen. And when you and I live our lives without the knowledge that God is with us at all times, we are not following the Spirit of God. We might as well be living our lives without a compass. We might as well be living our lives walking down the road without a road map. We might as well be living our lives without checks and balances, giving the devil a foothold, doing whatever we want to do. I'm sure we've all heard the expression, when the cat's away, the mice will play. We've all heard that before, haven't we? You know, whenever we forget that God indwells us, well, we just cast the chains off. Oh, I'll just do whatever I want to do because, hey, nobody sees what I'm doing. Nobody sees what I'm looking at. Nobody knows the words that are coming out of my mouth. Nobody knows the thoughts that are going on in my mind. Nobody sees all of that, but I'll tell you what, this morning, God sees it. God knows all about it. Amen. He sees what you're doing and He sees what I'm doing. We have to live with that knowledge that, yes, God is with us at all times. Yes, He indwells our body. And when we come up to a crisis in our life, we start to act like lost people, and I start to act like a lost person. I act like I don't have any comfort, I don't have any hope, and I start getting all frantic and worried and anxious and all of that, and I act like God's not even around. And Jesus Christ, when He was leaving this earth, going back to be with His Father, He says, don't worry, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. There is going to be a comforter sent to you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. Hey, you and I have a comforter. We have help. We have hope. We have strength. We have all of this through the Holy Spirit. He comes and indwells us so we can go forward in the face of adversity, in the face of problems. Why? We got a strong arm. We got our God there with us. We have the Holy Spirit there with us. And I'll tell you something here this morning. God does not want you to go forward in your life without the knowledge that He is there. He doesn't. He wants you to know that He is there with you. In every problem, every trial, every situation, God wants you to know that He is there with you. Jesus Christ told His disciples, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what He said. And He wanted them to know that. Even in the Old Testament, there's Moses. He's going to send the children of Israel out into battle and go and fight the Philistines. They're going to fight the Canaanites. You know what He told those soldiers that went out? He says, fear not. Be strong and of good courage. Keep going forward in the fight. You know why? Because God is with you. And He's not going to leave you, so keep on going. Boy, that'll give you some strength, won't it? That'll give you some courage to go forward. That'll give you some help. But a lot of times we forget, don't we? We let our thoughts get the best of us. And we don't go forward. Fear scares us off. Can't do the things that we want to do. So we let sin take control of our lives. We have to live our lives with that knowledge. Or if you don't, you're headed for trouble. We must live our everyday lives with that knowledge because there is a war being waged inside of you right now. If you are saved, there is a war. Amen. There is a battle going on. He says in verse number 17, He says, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. Amen. Lusteth. Boy, there's strong desire there. There's a strong desire of the flesh that comes against the spirit. And there's a strong desire of the spirit that comes against the flesh. And there's a war going on. There's strong desires going on. And there's the Galatians, and they were attempting to fight this battle without Jesus Christ and without the Spirit of God. They were trying to attack their problems with religion, trying to conform their bodies into something else so they could fight this battle that was going on, but it's not outward. It's not on the outside. It's on the inside. Our problem is on the inside. It's in our minds. It's in our hearts. That's where it's at. That's where the battleground is. And all the religion in the world is not going to fix the problem of the human race. It's God. God is our hope. He is the only one that we have. It's not religion. It's not, well, if I can do A, B, C, and D and do this, all this, and that, then I can. No, it's through God. It's through the Holy Spirit of God. There's a war going on. There's a war between good and evil and right and wrong. There's a war between God and sin and righteousness. It's coming at you every day. From the moment that you wake up till the moment you go to bed, it's after you. It's going after you. Your flesh and sin. Just as Cain hated Abel and killed him by striking a deadly blow, so your flesh is going after the spirit, trying to get you to do something that's wrong, trying to get you to doubt God, trying to get you to enjoy sin. Saying, oh, it's okay, you can do just a little bit. A little bit's not going to hurt. Just like Esau and Jacob warred against one another. They lived under the same roof. So the flesh and the spirit war against each other. We must have God. The flesh and the spirit, they're polar opposites. They don't have anything in common. They're not friends. They're arch enemies. The only thing that they have in common is the desire for a control. Which one are you going to feed? Which one do you follow? Your old nature is corrupt, sinful. It's against God. It's against His Spirit. It loves sin and unrighteousness. We are told here in verse 19 to 21 what the flesh wants to do. And what we see it do day after day after day. You want to see what the flesh does? Flip on the news and watch what people are doing. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, on and on and on and on. That's what your flesh wants to do. Nobody sitting in here is any exception to any of that. We all have that in us. It's that bad. It's not a pretty picture. But we have to have some kind of solution. We have to have some kind of help. We have to have some kind of strong arm that comes into our lives, into our hearts, and fights our battles for us and helps us. Because you and I are no match for sin and no match for our flesh. I guarantee it. Look at your life. Look at the things that you are prone to do. Look at 10,000 years of history, human history, and you'll find out just how bad that human beings are. And we think that we can take that on by doing some kind of religious ceremony or some kind, keeping some kind of rules or something like that, and we think that we can fix up ourselves like that. Nuh-uh. No way. You don't have a chance. You don't have a chance. We've got to have the Spirit of God. He's our captain. He comes in, and He's a strong arm. And you know what He does? He takes that big old giant monster called the flesh, and He takes him and He whacks his head off. Oof. And He holds his big old hairy, ugly, nasty head up and He says, right here, I got him. Got him for you. He kills him. Takes him. Nails him on a tree. Puts him on a tree. Crucifies him. Kills him. You know what we do? We look at that flesh hanging on the tree. We view it. And we say, hey, wait a second. I saw a finger twitching. He's still alive. Get him down off that cross right now. Give him something to eat. Help him. Give him CPR. Bring him back to life. Feed him. Help him. And we give him some power. strengthen him a little bit more. Then the next day, you got to do the same thing. God, help me with this flesh that you killed yesterday. I got to kill it again. He's alive again. He's after me. You got to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. We must have Jesus Christ, and we must die to the flesh daily. We must crucify that flesh on a daily basis. We must walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. How do we do it? How do we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit? It is by faith. It is by faith. You can't live and serve God apart from faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul the Apostle will concur with what I just said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20. Faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now the Galatians were attempting to do it on their own apart from Jesus Christ. And Paul says, have you gone mad? What's the matter with you? You're going to go away from Jesus Christ? You have to do it in the power of Lord Jesus Christ. He says in Galatians 3, verse number 3, he says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Oh, you can't do that. No way. You have to have Jesus Christ. The Christian life is a life of faith in Jesus Christ from beginning to end. We submit to the instructions of the Word of God, and we submit to the Holy Spirit in our lives and His leading. Amen. We have a responsibility to do that. We can't shirk that responsibility as Christians. Amen. We don't have a choice. We submit to Him. Faith is the key. It matters what you believe. Amen. It really does. People walk around saying, it doesn't matter what you believe. You can believe in anything. I mean, God will respect that. I mean, everyone's faith is valid and it's fine. It matters in a lot of different areas and realms of life. Larry King, I'm sure we all know him. He hosted a show, Larry King Live, for years and years. He was at the height of his career in 2005. Barbara Walters came and interviewed him. I don't know if it was on her show, his show, what it was. I guess he's still alive. Came and interviewed Larry King Live, asked him some very pointed questions, very serious questions. One of the questions that she asked, she said, what are you most afraid of? Now, mind you, he's got a great career at the top of his game. She said, what are you most afraid of? Right away, he says, death. I'm most afraid of death. The very next follow-up question was, do you believe in God? And his answer was, I don't know. I'm an agnostic. He says, I don't know. Do you see how his faith affected his answers and his fears? His most important fear was not losing his career, not losing everything that he had built, but his biggest fear was dying because of what he believed. Because of what he believed about God. He doesn't know what's on the other side of death. He's not certain about that. Now, I'm sure that everyone here, no one's going to say, I'm ready to die right now. Nobody's going to say that. I'm not. But did you know that I know that there's something else on the other side? I know that God is on the other side. I know that eternal life is on the other side. I know that heaven is on the other side. Why? Because of what I believe and what you believe. Amen. So it does matter. And when you and I are fighting this flesh and we're fighting this battle, it matters what you believe when you're fighting. Is it in the power of the Holy Spirit or is it in the power of you and me? It matters. And it must be in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how you walk in the flesh. That's how you submit to God. Is through faith. Paul the Apostle said in Galatians chapter 2 and verse number 20, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It matters what you believe about Jesus Christ. You can't just think that he's another good teacher or he's this or he's that. No, it matters what you believe. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Everything that Paul experienced, all of his hardships, the stonings, the beatings, the shipwrecks, all of those things, you know how he got through them? Man, that guy was a powerful guy. Woo! Boy, he was just some kind of guy. It was just his willpower that he had. Boy, he had just made it through. You know, the Bible never paints a picture of people like that. Least of all, Paul. Paul didn't go around calling himself a super Christian. He says, I'm the chief of sinners. And the way that he made it through was his faith in Jesus Christ. And that's the way that we're going to make it through. It's through our faith in Jesus Christ. Who are you following this morning? Are you following the Spirit's leading, or are you following your flesh? Because if you are following your flesh, it's going to lead to death. Amen. And not life. Not life. You're going to face all kinds of problems, and you have to do it in the power of the Spirit. Life is not always going to be rosy. You're going to run into heartaches. You're going to run into trouble. You better do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. We are called to live an extraordinary life as Christians. We are called to live a crucified life. We are called to be obedient to God. We are called to be disciples. We are called to love our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we must do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Walking in faith. Walking with the knowledge that He is with us every step of the way. And walking in His power. That's what we must have. And there's something waiting for us on the other side. Glory is waiting for us. Everything that you desire here upon this earth is waiting for you on the other side. If you don't have your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you don't have those things waiting for you. On the other side of life, if you reject Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you reject who He is, and you do not believe on the Son of God, you do not believe on Jesus Christ, there is hell waiting on the other side of death. And that's called eternal death. Amen. Jesus Christ paid your sin debt. Amen. Free and clear. He was buried. And now He is resurrected. And He is alive today. Amen. And He can make intercession for you. But if you do not have Jesus Christ, you do not have an intercessor. You do not have an advocate. You do not have eternal life. And you will die and go to hell. I'd encourage you to run to Jesus Christ today. To flee to Jesus Christ, because He is your only hope. Your only hope. You must live the Christian life in the power of the Spirit. Are you following Him? Are you being led by Him? I'd encourage you to